You're listening to American Medicine Today, presented by the Banati Spine Institute, featuring internationally acclaimed inventor of the Banati Spine procedures, Alfred Banati, MD. Once again, your host, Kimberly Bermel Banati, and co-host, Ethan Uecker.
Thank you for listening to American Medicine Today. I'm Kimberly Banati alongside Ethan Uecker and world-renowned orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Alfred Banati. Our next guest has been continuing the work of maintaining the legacy of her late husband, TV icon Bob Denver, best known as Gilligan on Gilligan's Island, by advocating for those with special needs within the community. And she shares her family's extraordinary story with her award-winning memoir, Gilligan's Dreams, The Other Side of the Island. Please help me welcome to the show, Dorema Denver. Thank you for joining us.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Now, your book happens to focus on the challenges of raising and caring for your son with autism. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about Colin?
Bob and I, most people don't know, because Bob was quite private, that he had an autistic child. Obviously, I still do. Diagnosed when he was 2 years old and changed our lives incredibly. Bob sort of set aside Hollywood, series work, movie work, and all of that to be with me full time to take care of our son one-on-one. And what people don't know, and one reason I wrote the book, was that Bob spent the last 20 years of his life with Colin and me caregiving our son. And I thought that was so remarkable and worthy of fans of his, fans of the show, knowing what kind of human being he was, not just Gilligan, not just Maynard G. Krebs from Dobie Gillis, but who he was as a person.
And so how hard was it for Bob to, you know, step away from the limelight, leave Hollywood, and basically become a caregiver?
You know, there was never any discussion about it. It wasn't like we sat down and, you know, talked about what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? It was just a given. He was such a great dad to his son. He loved our son and knew that he needed us maybe more than a normal child would because of the special needs that he had. And so it was just something that we did without thinking, we did without discussing. And let me tell you, for all the folks out there who are going through this, no, it wasn't easy. I don't want to make it, you know, I don't want to look at it through rose-colored glasses. There were days it was difficult. It's depleting, you know, in every way that it can be, physically and mentally and emotionally and all those different ways. But the rewards are also great. And sometimes that's hard to remember when you're in the middle of, you know, challenges or in the middle of behaviors or something like that. But I tell you, I learned so much having this young man in my life, and so did Bob. I really wouldn't change it for the world. I really wouldn't.
Dream, as a caregiver myself, my wife and I take care of my father after my mom passed away a few years ago. And you're right, people don't realize how demanding and how draining it is. And so many of our listeners are probably in that same position. But when you care for an elderly parent, the challenges are different. I kind of joke that we have a 79-year-old toddler that we take care of. But with a toddler, as you're taking care of a child, they're developing and growing and learning and becoming stronger and learning new skills. But with an aging parent or in a situation like yours, many times we find the person that we're taking care of having diminishing strength, diminishing skills, and diminishing awareness. It's a very, very difficult job. It's incredibly rewarding, but the burnout of being a caregiver is real. And I speak from experience.
No, it really is. You have to, you know, this was one thing that we were guilty of, was devoting all of our time to our son and not really thinking so much about ourselves. And you do have to take care of yourself because you're no good to anybody, you know, if you don't do that. And it is challenging. And it is sometimes there are days, you know, we were blessed because there were two of us. And on the days that Bob just felt like he couldn't do it, I stepped up. And vice versa, on the days that I couldn't do it, he stepped up. And then there were days that we could both do it with great joy. And, you know, but it's a challenging thing. Our son is 38 years old now. And I understand the 79-year-old toddler statement, because he's not anything like a 38-year-old, not even like an 18-year-old. He's very, very young and all of the things he does. And he's nonverbal, which is a whole different, you know, a whole different layer to the problem, because he can't ever, oh, this has been so frustrating to me at times, he can't ever tell us what is wrong, or now tell me or his caregivers what is wrong. We have to do a lot of guessing. He can try to show you as best he can. So it's a challenging thing to have to go through. And my heart goes out to all the families who are caring for an elderly relative or a child with special needs, because it takes, I think, a special person to be able to step up to that plate.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps to get it done. But it is rewarding when you do.
Yes. Well, why don't you tell us about how you came to fund the Denver Foundation? What does it do? Who exactly does it help? And is it only for those that are autistic in the families?
Actually, it's Bob and I set it up, obviously, in honor of our son. But it's for, it's here in Southern West Virginia, where I live. So it's more of a state, local foundation, but we set it up in honor of Colin to help special needs families with whatever those needs might be. We concentrated a bit on, and have concentrated and do concentrate a bit on autism by supplying iPads that allow families to download apps that help their person communicate by showing them on the app, you know, what they want to eat or what they'd rather have for dinner, or making choices of some kind. We've also supplied specialized wheelchairs. We have supplied bathtub chairs for young people as they get older and the parents have trouble lifting them from the tub. We have supplied things like that. And sadly, Bob didn't really live to see the fruition of the foundation. He wasn't, he died in 2005, almost 17 years ago. So it sort of ended up being my baby. And I have done my level best to make him proud. I've tried to carry on all the things that we started, the foundation, the radio station, Little Buddy Radio, dubbed that by the New York Press. I've really tried to carry on with everything. And so far, I have been able somehow to do that.
Yeah, Dreama, when I heard that you started a radio station and you're calling it Little Buddy Radio, I thought we have to ask her, like, what's the form? Because I'm a radio guy. Like, what's the format? You know, who are the sponsors? Like, what's the purpose and message of Little Buddy Radio?
Well, in 2004, the FCC opened a window for regular folks to own radio stations. And that's how we got this one. It's an LPFM. And the music, Bob and I, and again, this has been my baby. He passed away about 8 months to a year after we had started the radio station. And it's really a format that is very inclusive. I mean, there are almost any kind of music. What people tell me they love about it is that from one song to another, you're not sure what you're going to get. It's not all 70s or 80s or 90s, but there's a lot of all that. There's a lot of live performances. I wanted the station to be musically just really, really good. And I have musicians all the time tell me they love the station so much because it is eclectic. It's not just one thing. So it is owned and operated by the Denver Foundation. And we have sponsorships more like you would find on NPR or that kind of setup. And those sponsorships support the Denver Foundation. All the money that comes into Little Buddy Radio goes into the Denver Foundation. And the funny thing is the radio station has call letters like all of them do. In this case, WGAG, Bob, finding a call letter is really, really difficult. It's so hard.
Yes.
And so when we saw Gag, Bob thought of the gags he did on Gilligan's Island.
That's right.
Not this kind of gag.
Sure.
You know? But so it's WGAG. But when we launched the radio station, I think it was the New York Post called it. They did a story on it and said Bob Denver, Gilligan, had a radio station. So it must be Little Buddy Radio. And we decided we really did love that. So that's what everybody calls it.
Well, I think it's amazing what you've done in the name of your son, Colin, creating the Denver Foundation. And I believe wholeheartedly that your husband would be extremely proud of everything that you've accomplished and helped other people to accomplish. Thank you for being on the program, Dreama Denver.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take great care. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up after the break, a story of recovery.